Good morning. Somebody had a word up here, and it's good. His goodness is running after us. Why is it running after us? Are we running away? Stop running and let his goodness overtake us. And you know, sometimes, how many of you have ever been that? I was like that, especially as a teenager. You know, the Holy Spirit would come and get close, and then you'd freak out like, oh, my gosh, you're going to see me. You're going to know me. He sees you. He knows you, and he loves you anyway. Run, run, run towards his love and his goodness. And really and truly, when you think about it, if he's in us and we're in him, then the goodness is in us, and we can't really get away from it. But how many of you know we always try sometimes when we're uncomfortable? When we get uncomfortable, you know, or when we're angry at God. Y'all have heard my story about being angry with God and fit throwing for about 9 months. And every time he'd show up, I'd start throwing a bigger fit. I'm glad I learned my lesson through that one. Hopefully, prayerfully, I've grown. I don't want to ever do that again. But I know what it's like when Holy Spirit shows up and touches you a little bit and you're mad or you're upset or you don't understand. Or, you know, you feel like you've disappointed him and you try and hide. Like the time I was just throwing a fit and saying all kind of bad things about God. And Tommy was like, shh. And I'm like, he already knows. What you freaking out about? He's got big shoulders. And he grows us to a point where we understand things. Then we get new circumstances that we don't understand. And he grows us through those, right? But I do tell you this, because Tommy told me one time, and it was like he smacked me in the face. He's like, what? Because I was throwing a fit again. I don't know why you let this happen to me, God. I don't know. I do this and I do that and I've done this for you and I've done that for you and I don't understand why you let all these bad things happen to us. And Tommy said, you know, if you keep blaming him, you're just going to keep coming around this tree over and over again till you learn it's not him. People do things. We do things. He's always good. He's always good. And I think that was the time that I finally learned, you know. Don't blame him.
Can I share something?
Sure.
I just had a thought. What if God sent you a text? What would it say? I think most of the time it would be encouragement.
Absolutely.
Hang in there.
Absolutely.
Or do God did, but sometimes it might be, stop.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be, go. When you don't want to.
That's true. True. That's why we need to let it out. That's right. That's right. Wisdom, direction. That's what we were singing a little while ago. Lord, we want wisdom, direction, discernment, the steps we're supposed to take. So let me pray over the offering. You, as you guys online and here know, there are four ways to give. There is the link up here for tithely.com. It's not there, but it will be there in a second. There it goes. If you want to give through Tithely, that will link you straight to Arise Church Mountain View. Also, there are envelopes in front of you in the backs of those chairs for cash or check. If you would like to give that way, and also PayPal is PayPal Me Arise Church as well. I'm going to pray over the offering. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you know the needs of this place. You know the needs of our church. You know the needs of the people. And I just thank you that you are good and gracious, God, that you are overflowing with every good gift and everything that we need. Mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. I thank you that you hold everything in your hands. And so we just thank you that you move in our lives with gratitude and thankfulness and generosity towards you and to one another and to the world around us. in all the ways that you direct us. We thank you that you are the God of hope. You are the God that sees us and knows us, that you are not far away, and that we can have a communing relationship with you, not just every day, but every moment, if we could bring our awareness into that place. I thank you for it. Bless this offering. Bless the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. Intercessory prayer is here, 9:30 to 9:45 every Sunday morning. Pastor is continuing on with Road Trip with Jesus today. This week, we started Beat the Heat. And it's a cool, we've opened up our sanctuary Monday through Thursday. Hospitality room, sorry, not the sanctuary, hospitality room. For a cooling station. And so we're open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. if the heat index is 100 plus, and we have water and games. Becky pulled some games out for us, card games, different things if you want to come and hang out. If your house is hot, if you know people that are struggling, that, you know, like there's people that live in little trailers and different things that, you know, the air conditioners cannot keep them cool enough. And so if you know anyone, Cindy's come up a couple of days, or maybe you came up all the days, I don't know, and kind of hosted for us, and we appreciate that. And anyone else that would like to do that, you are welcome. That gives Pastor freedom to run errands and do things that he needs to do. But that will be Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., heat index of 100 or more. And all of our announcements are on our website, arisechurch.cc, and Facebook page. Are you ready? Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, though, as you're walking out of the room, I'd rather have you mad at God than mad at me. Although you are very cute, Matt. Still, when I was younger and stupider, Becky. Everybody say hi, Becky.
Hi, Becky.
She drives up here from Conway every weekend. And as you could tell from last service, last Sunday, she's very involved with Hannah and Holy for Him. It's the name of the ministry in Conway. And so, she is, that's good. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 8, verse 40. We'll get there in a second. I just want to remind you of a few things first, not announcements, but stuff we believe in, because that's always good, isn't it? It's good to know what you believe, right? Road Trip with Jesus. You know, I didn't even know the title of my own message series because in my notes I've been putting On the Road with Jesus. I think last week I said On the Road with Jesus. It's road trip. Who doesn't like a road trip? I don't like a road trip in the middle of the summer. I don't think I like anything in July except a fan and something cold to drink. Especially lately. Amen? Man, yes, I like it here. Yeah, is that what you said? Yeah, yes. Oh, I like Karen, definitely. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of things I do like. Oh man, we got a new cat. I tell you that we got a new cat. Oh yeah, she kind of wandered up. She's got a male name right now, but I'm sure they're going to change it. She won't let me touch her. She won't come near me. She's half feral, but she lets Jesse touch her. It just burns me up, man. Kayla can get pretty close. Bridger loves her. So how many does that make? Let's go. We got the black cat, which I call black cat. They call, I don't know what they call her, 13, I think. Got Scabby, which is Kitty Purry. I call her Scabby. We got Violet, which I call Nasty Lou, because she's a cold-blooded killer too, boy. She kills squirrels. She ain't bigger as a squirrel, but she kills them. Anyway, Then we got Deuce, the male with a long cat, with a long tail. We got Mr. Kitty that we picked up last month. I'm telling you, last month, because he was homeless and my daughter has a compassionate heart. And so, and now we have a new kitten. So what? How many is that? Is it six? Is that six cats? Six cats, one dog. That new kitten walks up to the beagle. He's 15. He'll be 16 in December. Walks up to that dog, and that dog just tries to hit him and slap him, and he just, you don't even exist to me, cat. Nothing exists but Cooper in Cooper's world and food. That's it. So, I always like to remind y'all, and I don't remember the last time I did this, so if it was last week, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm reminding you again this week, okay? There's really four things, and I held up five fingers, but there's really four things that Arise Church really sets our feet on, builds a foundation on. There are four things that we believe about God. One is God's love never fails. His love never fails. Ephesians 3 says this. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's a mouthful of words, you know it? But I tell you what, every one of them's got meaning. Imagine a love so big that you have to be strengthened by the Spirit of God, together with every other believer that has ever believed or will ever believe, to begin to comprehend the dimensions of God's love. I say this often, but it's worth saying again. No one's going to get to heaven. Not a single minister is going to get to heaven, and God's going to look at them and say, "You told people I love them too much." Because none of us can voice, none of us can articulate. Well, that's a word. I didn't even know I knew that word, Holy Spirit. None of us can even get the words out. That's a Tommy Lee way right there. Get the words out to express the love of God. Our language doesn't contain the words. Number two, God's power will always be enough. Man, Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." You know, we always pray, "God, give me enough grace," right? Give me grace, enough grace. I think we need to start praying, "Give me more than enough grace." Because I don't want to just get through something. I want to slide through in my socks on linoleum floor, you know? God's power is always enough. When we doubt, when we get in fear, when we begin to worry, like Herman was talking about, and that was really good, Herman. So was your guitar when you opened that song. Man, that was amazing. We have amazing people. And a so-so pastor. Anyway, God's power is enough. Man, I don't know about you, but did you ever pick a fight on your block? My dad's stronger than your dad. I never picked that fight because the girl next door could beat me up. She was a year older, and so she was faster, and her arms were long, and she is very much more coordinated than I was. I only knew her until I was about seven, so it wasn't a big deal, right? She did make me some dirt brownies one time that I ate because I was trying to impress her. But anyway, when the devil comes up and he starts this mess, Because he'll say to you, yeah, God's got a lot of power, just not for you. Because you know what you did last summer. You know who you are when nobody's looking. But you know else who knows who you are when nobody's looking? Because God's always looking. And he is undaunted by the mess in your life or the mess in my life. He is unfazed by the stupid mistakes that I've made in my life. He doesn't back away. I like how Herman said that if God could text you, he'd text you something encouraging. You've got this. You're doing well. You're going to grow. You may not be able to see light right now, but light's coming. Amen? You know, when they got back from exile, somebody in the name of Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 60, said, the people are covered in a great darkness, but the Lord is sending his light, his wonderful light. That light was Jesus. That light, you've been in that light since before creation. When you say God has enough power, that power lives inside of you. You know what Peter wrote? He said, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Through him. I don't know, keyboard. I think this is a shouting message, and they're just not shouting. But anyway, here we go. Number three, this is just the opener, okay? So don't. God's presence determines direction. Remember when they came out of Egypt? And the Bible says that they were led by a cloud by day and fire by night. When the cloud or the fire moved, that's when they moved. I can't imagine the logistics of moving over a million people and setting up camp and moving. And if they went 20 miles, would the last person of the million have gone that 20 miles, or would they camp where they camped at last night? I mean, because a million people takes up a lot of room. I mean, because they're not like spread out like Kansas City, right? Kansas City's got more than a million, I believe. Pretty sure they do. I've never lived in a city with a million people. Anyway, it's a lot of folks. But when they moved, they followed God. Sometimes following God means it's a difficult thing. And unlike when they were on their journey, it's okay to tell God how you feel. They got, Moses would get upset. God would get upset. They'd grumble because they didn't have any water. They're in the middle of a desert. Every one of us would have been grumbling because there's no water. Because if you don't have water for just a few days, you're gone, right? Nobody wanted to be gone. If we were going to be gone, we could have stayed in Egypt. What's his name? Steve Green? No, Steve Green, was it? What's his name? You want to go back to Egypt? Remember that song? Somebody from the 70s? Yeah. Mary, my favorite hippie. There you go. She knows. But when God's presence... So when you're confused or you're bewildered, find where God is. Sit down, be still. Ask him, Father, where are you in this? And then be quiet. That's the important part you got to hear. Be quiet. Have a pad out with a pencil so you can write something down. He'll give you something to write down. Or he'll tell you a scripture to turn to. Or he'll remind you of a song. Man, we were in here this morning singing Day and Night, Night and Day, and I just started hearing that old hymn in my head, peace coming down from the Father above, wonderful billows of love, sweep over my spirit, forever I pray in fathomless billows of love. Isn't that how it goes? Something like that? Peace. I'm not going to sing it to you because then, you're scary. And anyway, the fourth one, right? Just four things. You get any direction you go in, you can grab one of these, right? God's design is present in everyone. This is not so much, this is not only for you, but this is for people around you. Because sometimes it's difficult to remember that the same God that created you created someone else that is aggravating you. Or people in other churches, people online. There we go. Not us. We never get aggravated at other people. No. We never misunderstand someone. No. Maybe you don't. This guy does. But God's design is present in everyone. Psalms 139 says this, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I love how John said it in what probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. He says, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Man, the whole, everyone, all of the people that other people don't like. And then you have to ask God, am I failing to see your design in someone? Am I failing to see your design in my family member? In my friend that made me mad? In that person that sat there on their phone and let the light turn red? Here's one. Lisa, I don't mean this in a mean way, but that person with a binder full of coupons. Because hers are all organized. In fact, if you want to know how to organize coupons, that's the person to talk to. God's design is in everybody. You know how to test your, do I see that? Do I believe that? Is because you only believe it for as deeply as you believe it for the person you like the least. Well, that's harmful, isn't it? That's almost like eating turnips. You know, the actual turnip with a white sauce on it to make them look like potatoes. I mean, that just, you take one bite and you know you just stepped into the wrong room, right? You ask God, do I see your design? And you name that person that aggravates you, that you don't like, that doesn't fit your mold, that you don't want to sit down and talk to, that you don't want to see. Even though they're not living that design. Because all of us, no matter how much we know God and love God and understand how much God loves us or beginning to understand the love of God, none of us are living the design that he has for us. Jesus was the only one. Jesus fulfilled his purpose. You and I we're going to go to our graves on the road with Jesus, right? On the journey, on the road trip. Praise God. Finally, I'm not closing my message. I could. Y'all, I'll beat them. It's the skillet. I want our church to be a place where people can become who they were born to be. We should be wanting to unlock people's destiny that they've overlooked in their life, the fate, the goodness of God. This is a place at our church where you can experience God's love, explore God's power, encounter God's presence, and express God's design. Amen. You guys in Luke? Oh, I love this story. Of course, there's only a couple in the Bible I don't like, but don't tell Jesus. Starting in verse 40, it says, now when Jesus returned, the title of this story is A Girl Restored to Life and a Woman Healed. And Mark He says that Jesus crossed over. Man, have you ever thought about those words? Jesus crossed over. Man, that's such a loaded statement. And Matthew, Jairus comes up to him. We're going to meet him in a minute if you don't know him. But Jairus comes up to Jesus and says, hey, I need you to come heal my daughter. She's dying. And Matthew says that Jesus got up and went with him. Here in Luke, the good doctor tells us that when Jesus returned, man, that's just a nice phrase to say, isn't it? All of these things, excuse me, are actions. Jesus is active. He's active in our life. You have to see this because there's times when you want Jesus to get up, right? I mean, when they were in the boat and they were about to get swamped by the storm, they said, they woke him up. Hey, why are you sleeping and we're dying? Sorry. It's not like I don't have a bottle of water up here. And I brought my own bottle of water to the auditorium. I just want everyone to know. Anyway, let's read this. When Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him. Yay! But they were all waiting for him. Are we waiting for Jesus? Now there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and began pleading with him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of Jesus' cloak. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are hemming you in and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power went out from me." Does that mean that power cannot go out from him if you don't touch him, right? When the woman realized that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, it goes on, the next paragraph, and Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead, okay? Because she dies. But Jesus doesn't leave her dead. But what I want to concentrate on just for a few minutes this morning is that this woman, have you guys ever read Leviticus 15? You know, it's not something you find in a devotional. In fact, the whole book of Leviticus was written, there's an interpretation that it was written for Levite priests, not just the Levites themselves, but the Levites who were priests, because all priests were Levites, but all Levites weren't priests. And then it says there are statements in two or three of the chapters that say that if these things happen, if you do these abominations, God will, the land of Israel will vomit us out. Kind of the you're lukewarm, you know, from the writer in Revelation. The land will vomit us out. So there was an interpretation ever since Leviticus was in print that people, Jewish people outside of Israel, didn't follow Leviticus. And it was never meant for Gentiles because it was written to Levitical people living, Levite priests, living in the land of Israel before it was exiled while it was still the land. Because there's a whole lot of stuff that happens in Israel now that I'm sure the heart of God is grieved over. I mean, you can not agree with the Israeli government and still agree with God. You can still pray that Israel is blessed and the peace of Jerusalem. And you can pray that the people in Gaza can be fed and live lives without being paying the price for a terrorist organization. Anyway, Leviticus 15, this woman, because her blood flowed for 12 years, the Bible tells us. It's not like she could go sit at the edge of town for 7 days and then come back and take a bath and be cleaned, because she was always unclean. Everywhere she sat, everywhere she laid, there were pious people who wouldn't even have, and pious, I don't mean that in a negative term, but people who were concerned about being clean because they had to go to the synagogue, or they had to go to the temple that day. They wouldn't have even been in her presence. Remember the priest in the story of the Good Samaritan walked on the other side of the road from the man that was in the ditch because he didn't even want to get close enough to the man. And because he was headed to the synagogue, or he was going to the temple. And if he had touched him, he couldn't have done what God was asking him to do, is the thinking there. I don't know if it's the right thinking. I think people should always take precedent. And apparently Jesus thought that too, because he thought the hero of the story was a guy who got down in the ditch with the man and bound up his wounds, even though it would have made him unclean, bound up his wounds and took care of him. But anyway, this woman broke every culture there was just being on the street. In fact, if you ever get a chance, you can go to YouTube and watch this. You don't even have to watch the whole episode. If you just go Google a woman with an issue of blood healed, chosen, you'll see a clip, the entire clip of that, of her pressing in. And you can kind of get a view of what's going on. But this woman pressed in through those people. And she touched just the fringe of his clothing. She didn't like lay hand on a Jesus. She didn't lay hold of Jesus. She just barely touched the fringe of his cloak. And she was healed in an instant. And I love how Jesus just stops. Because do you think that Jesus didn't know who had touched him? I mean, he was all man, right? But he was also all God. I bet he knew the name of the man that was caught in adultery with the other woman, with the woman that they wanted to stone, but they didn't bring the man. I bet he knew that guy's name. I know he knows all the stuff I did. And thank God it's under the blood, and I don't have to remind him of it, and he doesn't remember it. Right? Man, that's a nice scripture there. But she pressed in. She broke her cult. She broke the culture. There would have been, I bet there were people appalled that she was even on the street with them. I bet they were upset. I mean, you know, the thing about the Leviticus is that once you touch an unclean person, you become unclean. But Jesus freaks him out here because this woman touches him. He doesn't become unclean. She becomes clean. And then he doesn't become unclean when he touches the dead girl's hand. She becomes alive. I mean, come on. Sometimes people are more important than ordinance. People are more important than law. People are more important than being pious. And pious is not a negative term. I know it sounds negative to me, because I'm not a very religious person. I'm just not. I just love God and realize he loves me first. And I'm forever thankful for all that he's done in my life. But I'm about the most non-religious person. You know how my little grandson comes up here and he's flagging across the front? I know it's aggravating somebody. I know it is. Because I used to get my little behind tore up for doing much of the same thing. Not a flag, but I probably had a G.I. Joe. Every time I see him running across the front, I remember in Sunday school, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and she was telling us to be thankful. And I was like 4 or 5 years old, and I got up, and she was duck walking around the table where the kids were sitting, where we were sitting, and she was making turkey sounds. She was acting it out. And I had brought a Daniel Boone action figure, not doll. I didn't play with dolls. I had an action figure, and I shot her with his musket. Oh, yeah, I got in deep. Had to go see. Bertha had to get involved with that deal. But anyway, when I see kids having fun in church, I love it. I just do. I don't have one of those houses where they can't come over and break something. I just don't. I teach them to respect things, yes. But if they're playing and they play too hard and something gets messed up, well, hopefully they didn't get hurt. You know, if I had my way, they'd all have those little ride on, the little side by sides, and they'd be lapping us like in a Jericho lap kind of thing on those little electric deals with flags of Jesus on the back of there. Anyway, the things that go through my head. Jesus wants you to touch him. Jesus is not. The word I want. He's not unafraid of your condition. He's not afraid of your condition. He isn't bothered by your condition. He's not surprised what you find in your life. I think what surprises him is how long it takes us sometime to go sit down at his feet. I mean, this guy Jairus, I didn't read it, but this woman is healed, and he tells her, calls her daughter, your faith has made you well. And well there means whole. You've been made whole. See, your condition, your symptoms aren't just gone, you're made whole. It's the same, man. Make me whole, God. Amen? And Jairus sees this, and just as that happens, somebody from Jairus' house runs up to him and says, don't bother the rabbi anymore. Your daughter has died. Now, I don't know. Maybe they meant that in a good way. I think I would have let Jairus just come to the house and find out with Jesus. Right? I don't think I would have said, don't bring Jesus over. Let Jesus just stay here in the middle of this street with everybody that's crowded around him and nothing happening. Because nobody else gets healed in this story, right? There's no other interaction with Jesus, with anyone else, but this woman and Jairus. Jesus looks at Jairus after this woman had just touched Jesus, and Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. He looks at Jairus and he says, have faith. Have faith that your daughter will be well. I like it when it's illustrated. I like it when Jesus is pointing out, when he takes time, when he's not inspecting Jairus' faith. He's not looking at his faith and saying, oh, you don't have enough faith. He's encouraging him to continue. That he came to Jesus and implored Jesus to come to his daughter. And the daughter was healed. And the daughter was raised up. We love. When it works, don't we? And we want it to always work, doesn't it? But in every one of our lives, there's a time when we've prayed for something to happen in faith. And it hasn't happened. We want to blame our faith. I don't think Jesus does. Jesus wasn't testing the two of these people to see who had the most faith. Even the woman from Sidon, when he said, I've never seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. The faith we have is because we're connected to Him. Faith in God is tapping into Jesus' faith in the Father. Jesus' faith in His own power. Jesus' knowledge of His own love. Jesus' wisdom. Jesus is knowing what He designed in you. There's a moment. I'll never forget listening. This person had flown from Sweden to Redding, California. Her husband was dying of cancer. And they wanted Bill Johnson, the pastor of that church, to pray over them. Because he wants heaven on earth, right? I mean, that's his big thing. Just to listen to his voice say, they came here for Jesus, but they only saw Bill. When things happen that we don't understand, because there's always things that we don't understand, our place to go is not in retreat and blame ourselves. Our place is to go into retreat into His presence. Maybe not even to seek understanding, but just to be comforted. And remember this. Whether we meet Jesus in the sky, or we get buried in the ground, or ashes in an urn, we still walk those same streets with Him. Heaven changes things, doesn't it? I want to see healing down here. I want to see things made whole here. I want to be like this woman and touch Jesus's and get to that point and see it happen. I want to be the Jairus and see people come back to life. I want all of that. But I'm not going to not ask for it because I don't understand, because I don't see it every time, because I don't know everything. I can't even believe those words even came out of Tommy Lee's mouth. But I don't know everything, and I don't understand everything, and I understand God the least of all the things that I do understand. I can't understand how He put a microphone in my hand and put me in front of you. I start right there. What were you thinking? God, I want to touch Jesus. Let's all stand. You guys okay? I didn't even give you my 3 points, man. You got cheated. That's all right. 11:37. I'm 5 minutes over. Self-imposed. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, I don't understand. And I may never understand. But that doesn't stop me from wanting to touch You and see miracles, to see signs, to see wonders, to see You at work in the lives of the people I love. And Father, enlarge my heart so that I want that, even for my enemies. I want to see You in their life. Then we won't be enemies. We'll be brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. I love you guys.